Thank you, Jesus. Let's stay in the spirit of worship. Praise and worship team, you could be seated. Thank you for your ministry. When the spirit of worship comes into the place, we need to respond to him. Give him his due. Don't be in a hurry. Don't worry about the program. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen? Amen. Our young people are dismissed to Children's Church. Amen. Those of you that have been here, you know that I've been opening worship last week. Talked about worshiping the living God, and he's very much alive, church. Will be forevermore. And so we're going to yield to him and let God have his way in our hearts. And I pray that today's word will continue to dig a little bit deeper into our hearts, and that we'll respond in faith and come into a deeper place of worship as we go forward. Today, as a reminder, it is the first Sunday of the month, so we will be sharing in the Lord's Supper in a few minutes, the bread and the drink, and we'll come to the table this morning in a spirit of worship. Pray with me for a moment. Father, this morning, in the name of Jesus, we simply open our hearts to you, Lord. We open our hearts to the Spirit of the living God. And pray, Father, that you will do a work in our hearts. Something personal, something special, something deeper. So that as we come out of it, we'll follow you. And we'll worship you in a deeper level. And we thank you for your faithfulness in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Open your Bibles this morning to Matthew 15. And I'm going to call this message today, Worship from the Heart. I hope I could get through it. Worship from the heart. That's for our recording and also for YouTube this morning. If you happen to be viewing or listening to this on YouTube, just yield to the Spirit of God. Let him do a deep work in your heart that you would be found as a faithful worshiper of him forevermore. Matthew 15, as you're getting there, Jesus was ministering. And in this particular passage, ministering to the religious folk of the day and to his disciples, you'll see in a moment. And he was after the heart of man, as he still is today in 2025. And so out of this passage today, I pray that we get revelation and understanding for our own lives in this hour, because God's doing something in our hearts if we'll allow him. Matthew 15, verse 1. It says, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem. Just quickly, the scribes, the Pharisees were the most religious sect of the Jewish system. They were all about the the law, all about the traditions of their forefathers, all about dotting the I's and crossing the T's. And you'll even find that Paul the Apostle came out of this sect, for he was head and shoulders above all of his peers in terms of the scripture. But I want you to see how Jesus related to them and what he was after before he begins to minister to his disciples in this passage. So the Pharisees and the scribes, they come to Jesus and they said in verse 2, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." See, the Pharisees were concerned about the traditions of the elders or of their forefathers. They weren't concerned about the Word of God, as we're going to see as we walk through this, but they were more concerned about the rules and the regulations and the traditions that were found in their forefathers and what had been passed down to them. So that's where this question comes from. It comes out of that perspective. And they noticed that Jesus' disciples, they didn't wash their hands before they ate, whereas the traditions of the forefathers, they had to wash their hands, you know, and they had to do a lot of other stuff as well. Jesus will mention some of that. So they were asking Jesus, why don't your disciples wash their hands then before they eat? And so Jesus in his wisdom answers them, and he says this in verse 3. He says, "Well, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" So Jesus answers them with a question, just like they asked him a question. See, they were asking about the tradition of the elders, and Jesus says, "Well, what about the commandment of God? What about what God said in light of your traditions? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death.' But you say, 'Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift,' or 'it is a gift to God, 'by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me,' and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free or exempt of this. So thus you've made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." See, the Pharisees in their traditions believed that as they gave their gifts to God, that made them exempt from giving to their parents, to their fathers and mothers. So they said, "Well, we're giving this to God, and so you're covered in that, and we're released. We're exempt from honoring you. We're free of that now." Tradition of the fathers there versus the actual Word of God. So Jesus poses this question to them. And, you know, Jesus was all about love, was he not? He loved people, and he was always trying to redeem people. But I want you to see how he addressed the Pharisaical heart of these religious leaders. In this conversation, he says then in verse 7, "You hypocrites," or maybe another word you might see is, "You pretenders." "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, 'This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.'" So Jesus perceives what the Pharisees are posing to him, and he calls them a bunch of hypocrites because they were more concerned about the external things, more concerned about what the forefathers' rules and regulations were that were handed down to them, more concerned about that stuff than the very word of God. He said, oh, you hypocrites, you pretenders, oh, you act religious on the outside, but on the inside, something very different. He had, in another place, some real choice words for them as well. I won't go there this morning. This is enough. But he says, about the lips, their mouth praises me and worships me, but their heart is far, far from me. Isaiah had prophesied it many years before this. We won't go there, but you can find it in Isaiah 29. That's where he's taking this from. So Isaiah says, and Isaiah was, one of the greatest prophets that ever walked the planet. And he stated this, God spoke this through him that, this people, they draw close to me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips with what they're saying, but really their heart is far from me. So their worship is really vain. It's really not touching me. It's really not reaching me. It really has nothing to do with me. It's vain worship. It might have looked good on the outside, maybe. But God doesn't look at the outside, does he, church? No, rather, he looks on the heart of man. He looks on the inside. So you could stand there and you could praise God with your lips, and it could look all pretty and sweet, but God's interested, is that coming from your heart to me, or is that just lip service? I'm here to tell you today that God is not interested in lip service. He doesn't want a facade. He doesn't care if it looks good. He wants to know, is it real? Is it coming from your heart? Does your praise come up and out of your heart to him? Does your worship come up and out of your heart to God? See, this is what he's getting at with these people. These were the religious people on the earth that others were looking to. It wasn't like they were just in their own little club and this is how they acted, in the privacy of, their little cave. No, they were marching around in the marketplace with their robes and their religious garb. And they're speaking to people about the kingdom of God, about God, blah, 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 blah. God says, no, no, no. Vain worship is coming from them. It doesn't touch me at all. Pretty serious. Pretty serious. And I love what Jesus does with it. Listen, he's the master. He's the best. Look at what he does with this. Verse 10. Jesus didn't waste a word. Like I said before, he loved people and he was after redeeming people's hearts. But listen what he did with this. Verse 10, he says, he called the multitude now. The multitude of people that were around him. A great number of people that were around him. And he says to them, he says, hey, hear and understand. Not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. See, he's saying, it's not about, washing your hands and what you put into your mouth. It's about what's coming out of your mouth. Stay with me. Verse 12, then the disciples came to him. And they said, hey, Jesus, do you know that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Jesus, do you know you offended the Pharisees, the religious folk? Jesus answers and he says, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, he says. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. You see, Jesus tried to bring truth to the Pharisees and the scribes. He tried to reveal the truth to them. But they were so set in their religion. They were so set in the traditions of their fathers. So set in those rules and regulations that were handed down to them over time. They were holding so tight to that stuff, they couldn't hear the very word of God from the Master himself. Wow. So Jesus says, let them alone. God will take care of them. Let the blind lead the blind. They're both going into the ditch then. Now he returns to his disciples. He says, because Peter comes next, and he says, Peter says, declare this parable to us, right? Jesus says, are you also yet without understanding? He's like, Peter, don't you get this either? Come on, man. Sorry, that's my vernacular. You can't read the scripture like the law. You got to read the scripture like you're in it, like you were there with Jesus. This was a real conversation. Peter was a real guy. Jesus called him as a disciple. So he's got questions, just like all the other disciples had questions, and not for nothing, but just like we as disciples of Christ in 2025 may have a lot of questions. It's okay to have questions for God. And let me qualify that, yet it is not okay to question God. He's God, and he'll always be God. And he can say and do what he desires to do and to say. So it's not for us to question him and who he is, but it's certainly okay to go to him and say, you know, Father, I don't get this. Could you open it to me? Would you please explain? Holy Ghost, would you please guide me into this truth? Would you teach me? Give me some understanding about this so I could use it in my life. That's perfectly acceptable. We ought to do that with God. Stay with me. Peter. Peter asks, what's this about, this parable? So Jesus answers him and he says, verse 17, do not yet you understand? Whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught. So you understand, the food goes into the belly, it's eliminated. Enough said about that? You understand what he's talking about. That's the natural. Okay? But, verse 18, those things that proceed out of the mouth come forth from where? From the heart. From the heart. And they defile the man. Listen to this now. Buckle up. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So Jesus makes it real clear it's what comes out of the heart, and he identifies some heavy things there that are found in the heart of man that come out of the mouth and out of the life. But he says, look, relax. If you don't wash your hands and you eat, not a problem. It's okay with God. Are you with me, church? Move with me then back to the prophet Jeremiah. Go to Jeremiah chapter 17, please. I want to talk to you today about worshiping from the heart. God's got to do some work in our hearts today so he can make us better worshipers of him. Jeremiah 17. Verse
Another great prophet of God, folks, Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 17, just a couple of verses, because I want you to see what God had prophesied through this man of God many years before Jesus was dealing with these Pharisees. Many years before. What I love about God, one of the things anyway, there's a lot I love about him, but one of the things is that he's consistent with who he is and what he says. So you could go to Genesis, you could go to one of the prophets. In this case, we're going to Jeremiah. You could go to the Gospels, you could go to Paul's epistle. You could go throughout the book all the way through Revelation, and you're going to find God is consistent. He is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he will do. You can't say that about others on the planet. He's God and God alone. He's God all by himself. Another place in the prophets, he said that he's God and there is no other. He's it. Jeremiah 17, speaking for God is a heavy ministry when you're a prophet of God and you're declaring the word of God to people. He says this, 17 and verse 9, talking about the heart of man. Listen, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Let that sink in. Our hearts, in and of ourselves, in and of our flesh, in and of who we are as human beings, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? You see, apart from a changed heart in Christ, that's who we are. And so when you come to Christ and your heart is changed, then becomes a process of getting rid of all that junk that is in your heart. Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's why when I hear people say this, and I know most of you, if not all of you, have heard this, because this is the world's wisdom. Oh, if you know, if you're approaching a decision that you have to make or something going on in your life, maybe a relationship issue or seeking a new job or what to do about school or college, you know, you're faced with different decisions and things in your life and you're really not sure what you should do or how you should go. And the world will tell you, oh, it's okay, you'll figure it out. Just listen to your heart. Just follow your heart. It makes me cringe when I hear it because I know this to be true. The heart is deceitful above all things. If you follow your heart, you're gonna get tossed around and go this way and that way and you'll be wishy-washy and you'll never really find the will of God for your life if you're following it. I know, they won't tell you that, I know. It's true anyway. Desperately wicked, who could know it? Verse 10, Jeremiah declares then, he says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. That's the thoughts, the reins, the thoughts of man, the mind of man. God says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. God's going to look upon your heart. God's going to look about your mind and your emotions. He's going to take a look at what's going on in there. He's looking on the inside. Hey, you might put on a good show for people around you. You might put on a good face. Well, there might be all sorts of things going on in that mind. All sorts of things going on in that heart of yours. And God's more interested in that. in the heart of what's going on than he is in the other stuff. But he says, look, I'm going to search it all. I'm going to look over all of it. See, you got to realize when he purchased us by the precious blood of Jesus, we became his. So God has every right to search our hearts and minds and to look over our lives. We're his.
Oh, but I'm independent. I'm independent. God, you know, I'll let him, you know, in here and there, and he could take a look at this, you know, but he ain't touching this. Uh-huh. God says, I'll search the heart. I'll search over your mind. And guess what? You're going to get what you've sowed. Every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. That's simply sowing and reaping right there. That's what that is. What are you putting in? What's coming out? God says, well, I'll give to man then according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. See, that puts it on us. That's up to us then how we want to live. That's up to us what we want running through our mind, what we want in our heart of hearts, how we want to hold on to stuff or not. I know, this won't pack the church out. This won't fill up the stadiums. No, this is a disciple message. This is a message for really for true worshipers of God. The doors are not locked. You're welcome to leave at any time. I'm just speaking the truth in love today because I know God's doing something in the heart of his people, and he deserves worship coming from his people. Go with me one more place. Go to the Psalms. Let's look at the heart of David for a minute. Go to Psalm 139. Back up into the Psalms 139. I'm talking about worshiping from the heart today. Worshiping from the heart. Psalm 139. Take a look at David's heart here for a minute. And I'm gonna use a couple of verses here, but let me just encourage you, read this whole passage in your time. Read the whole psalm. Pray about the whole psalm. Let it sink into your heart and mind. But here, for today, for time doesn't allow us to do all that. Psalm 139, verse 23. I want you to see the heart of David here. He says to God, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. See, David loved God so much. David was in pursuit of knowing God so much. He invited God to take a look at his heart, to take a look at his thoughts, and to examine him and let him know if there's any wicked way in him. Do we approach God like that, church?
Do we go to God in prayer, or when we open His Word, do we say, yeah, have your way, Lord. Take a look at my heart. Look at my thought life. If there's something there that's not pleasing to you, if there's some wickedness there that's surfacing, would you show me so that we could deal with that? Do we go to God like that, church? Or am I just, you know, crazy following the Word of God, following the Spirit of God? David gives us a great example here of a real man after God's own heart. David wasn't giving God lip service. David wasn't too concerned about being all polished on the outside and having a filthy, wicked heart on the inside. Quite the contrary. He was interested in having a clean and pure heart before the Lord. For when you go over his life, you see that David was not perfect. David made his share of mistakes. But the thing about David is he was always after God, and he was quick to repent when he recognized that he had sin in his life. And in this case here, he opens himself up wide open. He says, God, I invite you into my heart. Take a look. What do you see? Wow. Wow. The truth is, God sees it all anyway. But do we go to Him and say, take a look, Lord, what do I need to deal with? What do I need to adjust? What is it in my heart, in my mind, that I need to change so that I'm living right before you, that I got a clean heart? You understand? You can get so caught up in religion, in walking through, you know, jumping through the hoops and serving here and doing this and doing that, and that you could actually miss the real relationship part of your Christian experience with God and what He's trying to do in your life. When I began to be led into worship here for the last part of this year, when the Spirit of God began to minister to me and show me, said, this is where we're going to go here to bring this year to a close, I didn't know exactly what He wanted to say or what He wanted to do. But now I'm seeing more and more clearly that before God's people can worship Him out of the depths of their being, before they can worship in spirit and in truth, before you can really get there and give God the deep that calleth unto deep, He's got to deal with some things in our hearts. He's got to deal with some things in our minds. You understand? See, that's how much He loves us. He wants us to draw near. He wants us to come close. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to be changed by Him. He doesn't want you far off. And He certainly doesn't want you marching around the planet like a Pharisee, thinking who you are in all of your religion, in all of your tradition, in all of the things that you know has been passed down. He certainly doesn't want that as His witness in the earth, does He? No, He does not. God's making a people that are a real witness of Him, a real people of love, a real people of mercy, a real people that have the grace of God upon their lives, a real people that could share the love of God with others around them. a real people that'll roll up their sleeves and get dirty for God and do His work in the earth. And yet a real people that'll get before God with their heart wide open and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Oh, is that you today, church? I don't know. Is that you today? That's where He's calling us. And so here's what I want to do this morning, because I don't think you could take much more of this. For all that's been said so far, brother, I'm going to ask you to play so that people can spend a moment and examine their heart. I'm going to ask everybody, if you can, to stand and to present yourself to God. To get real, to get honest, to be authentic with your God. He is a living God. And I'm going to give you a moment to examine your heart. You take a look at your heart. You take a look at your thought life. You take a look at what's going on inside. And if the Holy Ghost surfaces something, bring something to your attention, something to your mind that needs to be adjusted, or you need to repent of something, or maybe you need to let go of something that you've been living with for years. I don't know. I do know this, that God's interested in your heart today. And He is willing to do some business with you, if you will, so that we all could go a little bit deeper when we get on the other side of this. Brother, let's play that worship music for a moment. Take a moment and examine your heart, and then I'm going to pray. Your hearts with me. Father, this morning, in the mighty name of Jesus, we as your people, Lord, we come before you right now, Lord, receiving this word today, receiving your truth, receiving the work of the Spirit of God in our hearts and minds. Lord, forgive us for all sin, all unrighteousness, any wickedness that's there, Lord, in our hearts, in our minds. We give that to you, Lord, that you would forgive us and wash us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Even as David prayed in one place, Lord, create in us a clean heart and renew in us a right spirit. Lord, that we would be your people, real true worshipers, that would give you glory and honor forevermore. We thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. We thank you for your love, your mercy, and all that you are to us. And Lord, we give you all the glory and all the honor today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Let's go ahead now and move to the Lord's table. I'll need some help here from a couple of people, please. And we'll share in the Lord's Supper today together, knowing that we're coming to the table with a pure heart, with a clean heart, and getting before God. And all that that means as we come to share the Lord's Supper. Young people, come back and join us. We'll share in the Lord's Supper here together. Matthew's account of this reads like this. It says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to the disciples and he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' He took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." And so this morning, if you're going to participate in the Lord's Supper, from the back to the front, you can come and pick up the elements, and then we'll share together the bread and the drink and participate in this. That are ministering, thank you for the words. If you want to put up Matthew 26:26, if you want to go there, you can. That's fine. Otherwise, you could take that down. Let's get to the bread, folks. Let's get to the bread. Let's lift that before the Lord in faith this morning, knowing that the bread represents the broken body of Jesus Christ. This is a man that was pure, righteous, holy, no sin in that man at all.
He went willingly to a whipping post where they beat him almost to death. He willingly went to that cross and laid his life down in obedience to his Father's will, willingly for us. And so this morning, as we lift the bread, Lord, thank you for your obedience and that sacrifice that you gave for our benefit. As we honor you today and remember what you did, we thank you. We thank you for all that you accomplished there. And we put our faith and our trust in you today. As we partake of the bread, Lord, let strength, health, and life come to your people. In Jesus' precious name, partake together. Let's take the cup together. As you know, the cup represents the poured out blood of Jesus Christ. Every drop of blood that he shed, everything that was poured out, it cried mercy for all of mankind that would believe and put their faith and trust in him. Merciful God, a gracious God, a loving God that desires fellowship with each and every one of us. This is the God that we worship, a God that poured out his blood for us, that made a way so we could get to Father God and worship him. This morning as we partake, Lord, we're grateful for the precious blood of the Lamb. And Lord, we thank you for the finished work of Calvary. As we partake, let the life that's found in the blood of Jesus be ours today. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, partake together. If I could call the praise and worship team one more time, and let's close out the service together. Worshiping our God, worshiping him with a pure and clean heart today, in a deeper appreciation for who he is, in a deeper revelation of who God is and that he's deserving of all the glory, all the honor. Come on, church, worship him as we close out.
Gave a man.
Faithfulness, Lord, your goodness and mercy in our lives. We desire to worship you, Lord, in a greater, deeper dimension than ever before. We thank you that you've forgiven us from all of the sin, the wickedness, all of that junk that has weighted us down or been in our hearts. And Lord, as we leave lighter. We leave knowing your love. We leave with a heart of worship for you, Lord. Draw your people higher. Draw them deeper, Lord, that you'd receive all of the glory, honor, and the worship that only you deserve. So we thank you and bless you today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.